Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome again to Circles of Change for our second part of our two-part show. It's a pleasure to welcome Marcy Alstadt, who's the founder and president of OpsTrack Consulting. Welcome to the show, Marcy.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You betcha. Let me give me a brief introduction. Marcy is the founder and principal of OpsTrack Consulting, which is based in the San Francisco Bay Area. A mechanical engineer first by academic training, Marcy actually is a seasoned line operations and supply chain leader with very diverse product and technology expertise. She's worked coast to coast and on four continents with multinational management credentials and also extensive transformation know-how. Prior to launching her consulting practice, Marcy was vice president of operations for Hewlett-Packard's $13 billion laser jet printer business, a role demanding leadership flexibility amongst very competitive global business growth. In 2010, actually, she had circled back to HP, which had been her first full-time career home, after 15 years in the intervening time with other companies, and those included Sun Microsystems, Adept Technology, Chipcom, and 3Com, so quite a diverse portfolio in the tech sector, both computer and robotic industries. Marcy held various positions during that time frame, from fabrication shop manager, process engineering manager, and the director of manufacturing engineering, before she launched into a career in global supply chain. So I have to say, a common thread to the roles and company circumstances Marcy has gravitated to and enjoyed as an insider and now as an outside consultant include change, tumultuous times, and a compelling reason really to go for sustainable transformation, not just to fix the problems. Right, Marcy?
Exactly.
Well, the idea OpsTrack, where does that name come from?
Well, the idea really is to take in all things operational, which to me includes supply chain, procurement, manufacturing engineering, NPI, new product introduction. So it's the full breadth of operational issues within a company. And oftentimes those aren't simply execution-oriented. Those are often very tangled up, as you know, in strategy and in people development. So it's a fairly comprehensive attack on business problems that I'm trying to take on here.
Well, and in fact, you wrote a really interesting blog post that you called that transformation is both a tactical and a strategic combination of things. And I think that's an interesting take on it because many people view transformation as purely the strategic, set the vision and then go forward, not necessarily recognizing you also have to keep running the business while you're doing it.
Absolutely. I see the two pieces just hand in hand. And if you do one without the other, you're not going to have a sustained transformation effort. You'll end up with either highfalutin ideas that don't actually translate into change that stays in place, or you'll chip away at short-term issues and you also won't consider the longer-term implications. So you need to think about both the short-term action that you take to start things moving as well as the longer-term sustained process and root cause kinds of changes.
And don't you find many times when working with clients that they're stuck in the either-or?
Absolutely. I can give some examples of that. The one that comes to mind is during recent natural disasters. It was my job to pull this client through a fairly major recovery to put this company back on track to recover market share. The tendency was to be extremely tactical in this recovery and to consider just how to get back on track, stop the free fall, triage, prioritize, consider the quality implications and expedite material. But obviously we got into this situation with some other issues that were in place that we needed to correct. And one of those major issues was that we were fairly single-threaded with this Asian partner, and we needed to really think about business continuity.
Right.
Not only with this major partner, but also with the suppliers that we were using at a second tier. So really thinking through the risk management and the business continuity planning for ongoing product development and changing the way we looked at not only product development, but product launch was part of putting a good process in place that would sustain transformation beyond just recovery from this particular issue.
But, you know, the challenge you run into, of course, is that many times those partnerships are billed, a single-point partnership, are billed as the way to streamline things and save cost and collaborate. But I think you're right. If something happens with that key partner, then you really are lost in space.
Mm-hmm. And the answer to that isn't necessarily to add a second source. There are other ways of mitigating risk. It is possible to put strategic inventory in place.
Yeah, right.
It is possible to use that supplier in several different locations so that if there is a tsunami, it's not going to wipe out your manufacturing process. So you can think through alternatives to adding additional suppliers if you are thinking about it ahead of time and not just reacting to the issue.
So this idea of transformation, both tactical and strategic, you know, again, this idea of certainly having to step in and fix the immediate holes, but also kind of set the expectation for the future. That was one of the points you made. The idea also of the role of measurement being so important, so you know where you are, right, Marcy?
Absolutely. My bias is always toward measuring what you're doing. If you can't measure it, you probably aren't going to be able to change it. People respect what you inspect. So having a good instrumentation on the process that you're trying to change is the very first step to take. It also allows you to see the progress. So if you know really where you stand when you're starting, you can celebrate the progress you're making. So it's an important not only short-term sort of tactical move, but again, also the strategic thought of celebrating success and having that ongoing ability to see where you stand in the process.
Well, particularly if you're in a really messy situation where people feel like it's all the negative things are coming at them faster than they can possibly absorb. But if you've got those hooks of positivity along the way, that's where your clients can pull themselves forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't stress that enough because, as you know, change management is all about people, and people need to be motivated. And if they don't understand that there is progress being made and they're part of that positive change, oftentimes it just feels like a burden, and change just feels like something that they've got to combat rather than be part of and be celebrating because of the positive things.
Well, and certainly, so a piece of your business then in OpsTrack Consulting then, as you guide your clients through these kind of transformational things, is also to provide some wisdom on the whole personnel side of the story. And I know what I've found with my clients is many times it's helping the client realize what they shouldn't have people work on so they can be focused 100% on what really matters.
Exactly. It's not, sometimes it's not what you do, it's what you don't do.
It's what you don't do, exactly.
That's the hardest thing to decide.
And then also finding the make sure that those things you've got the people matched to then really matches what their capabilities are and what they're passionate about doing.
Absolutely. And one of the points I make in that blog that you mentioned earlier is that it's important to look at the people side of it and think of it both long-term and short-term. So strategically and sort of in an execution point of view, you need to understand quickly whether people need help and whether they need specific development or they need coaching or they need training. That's kind of a short-term tactical issue. But the longer-term issue is whether you've got the right organizational structure and whether you have the right people in the right jobs. And so that's definitely an organizational development challenge that is a big part of, I think, the success of any transformation project.
Yeah, well put. Marcy, the kind of clients you've worked with then at OpsTrack Consulting, I know you really have a broad bandwidth of the type of industries you've come from, but at the end of the day, solving problems is what it's all about. And having that kind of focus on really getting to the root cause of the problem to make sure you're really making a sustainable shift instead of just band-aiding, right?
Yes, and I guess the difference for me as a consultant versus some other consultants that I've worked with in the past as a line executive is that I believe it's critical to not just give recommendations, but give a clear path forward for a resolution. And I certainly have the ability to see it through to completion if that's something that is important to the client. So I think that's a little different than some consulting companies that fly rather high, give great PowerPoint presentations, but don't have the wherewithal to drive it to completion, and I think that's an important difference.
Well, in fact, that's the approach, of course, I take to my change leadership consulting as well. Or to put it another way, that you and I are both the kind of consultants that couldn't just go in, write the report, and step out if we wanted to. I mean, it doesn't get fun until you really can step in side by side with the client, and particularly looking at these complex system-related issues that you can bring your experience to bear of the kind of work you did with Hewlett-Packard and Sun Microsystems and other, what you had the responsibility, not just talking about it, but actually having to do it. Some of the really dicey root cause problem solving that you've done then, an example perhaps within the supply chain world, you know, you mentioned the tsunami effect and an international one. Another story come to mind that would bring to bear how powerful that it is to really get to those five whys?
Sure. Yeah, I think back to a time when I worked with a storage company, and in that situation, at first glance, the problem that I assumed was there is that the company was simply paying too much for production costs. Upon further analysis, and again asking those five whys in sort of a lean fashion, it became clear that the root cause was more a complexity issue, leading to very small lot sizes, very small volumes spread across too many suppliers. So the solution had more to do with consolidating that basket of products into one supplier and looking across that portfolio to determine what could be obsoleted, which then in turn increased the volume on the remaining products. So what ended up happening is we cut the costs over 15%, the cost of goods sold over 15%, and we were able to then more strategically focus on the future portfolio of products in the development cycle and in the roadmap, marketing roadmap, to make sure that we didn't get into this mess again. And basically the idea was to get into a preventative mode of really honing that product roadmap to have the right products, and those products then would be at volume and at competitive cost.
You know, isn't that always the challenge, though? You're running your business. You're excited about what you've put in the marketplace. You actually probably get response that they're good products. But over time, we might lose track of what we should be retiring. And then it's like you wake up one day and you realize that probably where a lot of your energy has to go is to what products do you take off the list of goods sold versus necessarily just how many more new ones you put on the list.
Right, back to the theme of it's harder to decide what not to do than what to do.
Right.
But that's both sides of the coin need to be considered, or you can't focus an organization.
And, you know, whether that be someone who runs a successful restaurant or someone that actually builds manufacturing stuff like you and I have enjoyed over our career, sometimes it's hard to let go of those products or those items on the menu that served you well in the past. And I would say that probably takes us back to your one mantra about being able to measure so that you stay objective with what you're working with.
Absolutely, and you don't hang on to things because they were a favorite of a manufacturing or a marketing person or a product manager or even a customer. In some cases, that's the hardest. When your customer base is fond of a product, then it's the most difficult situation because you have to then wean them from that product and convince them to move over to a new one. And that is a real issue, even if the metrics show that it makes sense to do it. Oftentimes that's the big challenge. It just requires a lot of good coordination between all parts of the business to change the profile for that customer such that they're incented to move.
Yeah, exactly. We've been speaking with Marcy Alstott. She's founder and president of OpsTrack Consulting. You can learn about her company at www.opstrakconsulting.com. And remember to go all the way to the right on the toolbar and click blog, because actually, Marcy, you've been blogging for how long now?
For several years.
Yep.
I think I've gotten more serious about it recently, and I'm enjoying it very much. It's a good way to get some ideas out on the internet wave and get some feedback. So I've enjoyed the conversations that have been prompted by the writing I've done.
I think many people underestimate, too, that it's almost like a journaling experience where you can suddenly see in paper what you otherwise have been stewing around in your subconscious as much as your conscious mind.
Absolutely. Very therapeutic.
Very therapeutic. Or I'd also say, with you being in the consulting world now full time, you're probably setting the stage for a book, whether you realize it or not.
I am thinking about that now, exactly that thought.
So, Marcy, for OpsTrack Consulting, who are your ideal clients? Have you thought about that? Or at this point in time, with your portfolio?
Yes, I have certainly given that a lot of thought and have been targeting medium-sized companies. What I'm finding is that companies that are too big usually have staff of people who can deal with issues that come up. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that I couldn't step into that size company, because certainly I've worked in that size company. But I think the target audience for me, or target customer for me, would be a company that perhaps is in a state of growth, in a state of change, is trying to move from startup mode to a much more sustainable mode as a ramping company, a ramping product company. And usually at that stage in a company's growth, they need to change the way they're doing things to be much more systemically capable of moving forward, rather than the whack-a-mole approach that tends to be in place in a lot of smaller startup companies.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So companies in that state of transition where they're ramping and they've got that need to really put some better processes, cross-departmental processes in place, is where I target.
Interesting. You know, I mentioned in the introduction that you've worked, as of course, in a variety of different industries and different products, but you've also worked across four different continents. Your thoughts about the global nature of things, of having worked in the Americas, in Pan-Asia, in Europe, are there any striking differences that now in hindsight, sort of the, gee, I wish I'd known that then, as you've gone forward?
That's an interesting question. Actually, one I have done a little bit of blogging on, because I think doing business in Asia and in Europe is takes a little different set of skills than just working in the U.S. I do think that patience comes to mind in many other cultures when you compare to dealing with the culture within the United States. The pace and the approach to business is different and needs to be respected, and sometimes it gets very frustrating for us Westerners who are used to, you know, ready shoot aim,
right,
in
so
our
that's
mode.
Right.
And oftentimes it's healthy to do exactly what our partners in Asia tend to do, which is to really think thoroughly through what they're going to do prior to pulling the trigger on it. And having the patience and yet also not backing down from this sense of urgency that we in the West have. So finding that combined culture, I think, makes the best of both worlds.
The other piece that's happened over the years, of course, I mean, your background is engineering, and you spent a formative years out on the shop floor and moving into manufacturing engineering, and then find yourself now in the whole world of global supply chain, knowing that the manufacturing bases have moved around, right, and historically. The whole field of global supply chain and the role of information technology, Marcy, how is it you feel, or where do you see that going, particularly as it might pertain to your now advising companies who perhaps are just right at the onset of this?
Well, I think that times, they are a-changing. There's no doubt about that. In some ways, you could see they're changing in both directions, which is kind of interesting. There, a lot of bigger companies are moving and have already moved and are continuing to move product manufacturing to lower-cost regions. And it's not always China now. Sometimes now it's Vietnam or the Philippines. There are other regions in the world that are getting less expensive than China even. But that move will continue as long as labor is a big part of that, the content of the cost content. On the other hand, there is a move afoot, I think, to bring some manufacturing even back to the United States or to this continent, as the price of energy goes up, as labor increases across the world. So all of that being said, in answer to your question, there is no doubt that the world is flat, as they say. You know,
sure.
Manufacturing and logistics, customers are everywhere. Development's taking place everywhere. So having the ability to move information around is as critical as moving product around. Even if we were to centralize all of our manufacturing in China, let's say, for example, you'd still need to have a huge infrastructure of information flow because customers are all over the world. So I think more and more having a very good information system in place, and that's, I mean, obviously many companies provide that, but that is even more important now than ever, and getting not only that first tier of information at your fingertips and understanding what's being shipped from your key partners, but also down through the supply chain, being able to look throughout your supply chain and understand where your material's coming from and what state it's in is more important than ever.
And that's exactly what you said, that significant, difficult event you dealt with your one client there. It wasn't the primary supplier. It was the sub-suppliers that brought that to you. And, you know, I think the other piece of it is you and I both know from our own manufacturing experience, it isn't just getting the data, but how you turn the data to information, to knowledge, and then to good, sound decision-making.
Absolutely.
And that's really also, like you were saying, this idea of, thus being very tactical because you need to do that, but to have enough of a radar up to see what's potentially coming around the corner at you or what you want to go around the corner to make that happen. Well, Marcy Alstadt, wish you all the best of luck as you continue to grow OpsTrack Consulting. For our listeners interested to learn more about Marcy's background and certainly her blog on a variety of really relevant change management topics, you go to www.opstrakconsulting.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to keeping track of your global progress.
Thank you, Zara. Nice talking with you.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.